This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Amy Scott. One of the buzzwords in education these days is grit. The idea that qualities like perseverance, curiosity, and self-control can be as important as academic skills for success in school. Writer Paul Tuff has been looking at the latest research on how those so-called non-cognitive skills are developed in young children, starting in infancy, and why kids growing up in poverty or in stressful environments are often at a disadvantage. He's out with a new book called Helping Children Succeed: What Works and Why. Paul, it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
So if children don't have that foundation during their earliest years when they get to school, are they just out of luck or can they actually be taught?
Not at all. I think there is a lot that schools can do to help kids who come in without that sort of foundation. The one word in your question that I am challenging at this point in my thinking is the word taught. That I don't think that the main way that schools, when they're successful, develop these capacities in children is through teaching them. I mean, it is through giving them grit lessons and curiosity worksheets. It's more about creating an environment in the classroom and in the school as a whole that encourage kids to feel a sense of motivation and belonging and connection, especially if they don't have that kind of feeling at home.
Yeah, talk a little more about that environment and how critical it is in the early years. And if you don't have that, how it might be replicated in some ways in the school.
So in this new book, Helping Children Succeed, that's the idea that's really motivated me. This idea that what affects these qualities in children is not teaching, it's the environment that kids live in. And what that means is that the adults who surround children really have this responsibility. We're the ones who shape their environment. And that's true in the home and it's true in the school. There are a number of interventions that I read about in the book that work with parents, supporting them, especially in children's early years, to try to create an environment in the home that helps children develop these capacities. And it's about face-to-face interactions, what neuroscientists sometimes call serve and return exchanges between parents and children. It's not about sort of having like a souped-up, super-stimulating environment. It's just about sort of warmth and closeness and connection. But what neuroscientists can demonstrate is that makes a huge difference in the development of these capacities. And then in school, I think when teachers are able to, first of all, create sort of a calm, stable classroom, but also to give students a sense of challenge, to give them work that's actually interesting and demanding and pushes them a little bit. What psychologists are finding is that tends to create these mindsets in kids, these sort of psychological states that make a huge difference in whether they're able to succeed.
You know, as I read your book, it occurred to me that a lot of this could be applied to the workplace. I mean, creating the sort of environment where people feel like they belong and that they're challenged and rewarded by the work. This could happen, you know, once students are in the working world.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it happens in families, it happens in marriages. I think these principles are important for all of us at any point. I just think that with children, it is more of a public responsibility, right? Like, there are lots of ways that workplaces could get better to increase that, improve that environment. But when we're talking about, you know, homes and schools and the way that kids are growing up, they can't take responsibility for that. They can't change their own environment. And so that's where I think it becomes this public responsibility for all of us to think about how we're shaping those environments and how we can do it better.
Now, there's also a lot of debate about how and whether these non-cognitive skills should be measured and even whether schools might be held accountable for teaching them. And that's, as you write in the book, partly encouraged by the new federal education law, Every Student Succeeds, which requires states to hold schools accountable for at least one non-academic measure. Is that a good idea?
Well, to be honest, I sort of have mixed feelings about it. I mean, I like the idea that we're thinking about not just measuring children's success based on these narrow No Child Left Behind like test scores. That's absolutely a good idea. My concern, I think the concern of other people in this field, is that if we try to replace that with the same kind of sort of rigid standardized tests, but just have those tests be for, you know, grit or self-control instead of for math and reading, first of all, we're just going to replicate the same kind of, you know, intense anxiety around accountability. But second, the measures that we have for these qualities just aren't strong enough right now to be used for accountability purposes. And I would argue they probably never will be. And so instead of trying to sort of come up with the perfect definition and the perfect test and the perfect scale by which we can measure someone's child's perseverance, I think it's much more productive to look at the end result of these sorts of qualities. You know, the reason we care about perseverance is not because, you know, we want perseverant kids. It's because we want them to stick with their work. We want them to be motivated to and engaged at school. And so if we can see that that's happening in classrooms and in schools, and I think there are ways to see that, then those are the measures that I think we should really care about. And trying to, you know, slice and dice the specific skills that kids have to figure out, you know, who's got what and in what degree, I don't think that's as important to do.
And there's a lot of economic payoff here. In that those students will go on to be more productive workers, they tend to earn more. What's the return on this investment?
Well, I think one of the things about this research that really strikes me is that even though we're talking about stuff that seems sometimes like very much in a separate realm from academic achievement, you know, like as if these non-cognitive skills are stuff that has nothing to do with reading and math. In fact, it has lots to do. You know, it lays the groundwork for students being able to focus on their regular schoolwork. And as a result, they're going to learn more, they're going to know more, they're going to be better at all of the sort of academic skills that we want them to be good at, and they're going to be more likely to show up to school, to graduate, to not become behavior problems in high school, and having more kids graduate from high school, more kids be prepared to go on to college and succeed there, that makes a huge difference for not only those children, but for the economy as a whole.
Now, when we know so much about how crucial those early years are in developing both cognitive and non-cognitive abilities, why do we invest so little in early childhood?
That is a great question. I've sort of known the statistics about early childhood for a while, but writing this new book and revisiting them, it's really shocking how poorly the United States does compared to its international competitors. In one list of OECD countries, the United States is 31st on a list of 32 nations in terms of the proportion of our public money that we spend on early childhood. And I don't know why that is, because especially over the last decade or so, we've just got so much more evidence than we had before of how important those years are for children's long-term success. You know, an investment in those early years, especially with kids who are in low-income homes, pays off certainly for those kids, but for the society as a whole. So I hope it's something that can change, and maybe it's just a symptom of our kind of stuck culture in Washington. My fear is that it means that we just don't care enough about those kids. In my more hopeful moments, I think that, you know, people sort of becoming aware of how different the way we treat early childhood is from other countries will spur people to action. In my more pessimistic moments, I think, you know, maybe we're just not willing to invest in those kids.
All right. The book is Helping Children Succeed. It's out today. The author is Paul Tough. Thanks very much.
Thank you.